Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right, my name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. Thank you so, so much for tuning back in to my show, Talk to Me. I just want to thank you. If someone you know isn't doing anything right now, send them the link, tell them to listen in, send them the phone number, tell them to listen in, and we are going to have a fantabulous show. I have two awesome men that are going to be calling in on today, and so before we get into that, the topic is an intimate connection over the summer. Now, I know we've had them. Maybe we don't have them every summer, but you can think back to when you had an intimate connection throughout the summer. So right now, the only intimate connection that I've had over this past summer is being in Israel and having a spiritual connection with the Father, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to get into what intimacy actually is, okay? Intimacy, it is close familiarity or friendship, closeness, or the intimacy between a husband and a wife, closeness, togetherness, affinity, rapport, attachment, and familiarity. Again, so that is what intimacy is. It's not always about the sex. So let's go into what an intimate connection would be spiritually. And it says in Proverbs 19:22, it says in the NIV version, what a person desires is unfailing love, better to be poor than a liar. And intimacy, again, it reiterates close familiarity or friendship or closeness. We all long for unconditional acceptance and closeness. We want to be cared for, known, understood, and loved for who we are. and that is in any relationship. It doesn't have to be a love relationship as in just a husband and a wife. That could be between your kids. That could be between your friendships. It can mean different things to different people. It also defines it as revealing your spirituality to your partner, a disclosure, and listening to your partner's disclosures in a supportive, non-judgmental fashion. So there we have it, because sometimes the smallest words will leave us dumbfounded and we don't really know how to explain it always. And so before we get into anything else, I do want to give a quick background on the show. I've been doing this 13 years. This is the 13th season, over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, reaching over 10,000 listeners here in the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Dominican Republic, South Africa, Nigeria, and Japan. This is where I keep my water and tea right next to me. All right, now, and so you know, if someone you know hasn't heard the show, like I said, send them the information. We're gonna get into some scriptures about love, okay? And so in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, in the New Living Translation, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. In 1 John 4:16, it says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love in God, and God lives in them. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things, this is one of my favorites, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Okay? And then 1 Peter says in 4:8, it says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And so you say, how am I going to do that? These are strangers. But, you know, you can show affection or love to someone that you don't know, you know, in talking and telling them about who God is to you. But it also is talking about your husband, your wife. It's talking about loving each other who are brothers and sisters in Christ as well. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. And then lastly, my favorite one, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ love. If he not doing that, then, you know, you submitting to him in the things that he says and does is very questionable. You're walking a very thin line, because he can be leading you in a direction that is not good or not safe or not loving. And then it says he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So therefore, he has to be holy and clean himself. It's not just talking about what the woman, what her part is in it. It's about his part as well. And so I'm going to go to a very quick break, and I'm going to play a song, come back, and I see that my first caller has called in, and he's waiting patiently on the line. So I'm going to play a little bit of the SOS band, Tell Me If You Still Care, always dear to my heart.
started to lose your love for me, and if so, will you still continue to be for my life? Tell me, do you care about me?
That was Tell Me If You Still Care. I just had to get to the part where she starts going up high. Woo, I love this song. It will never be old to me, but thank you so much for tuning in. I am Cherie Humphrey, producer of A Star Is Born Talent Events, Talk to Me Media, and this show, Talk to Me. I'm going to plug in my first caller. Hello?
Hey, hey, how are you?
Huh? Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone, this is Enrique LeBron. He is a filmmaker from Hartford, Connecticut, and I met him briefly at the Black Film Festival that took place here in Bridgeport recently. And LeBron, I just had a question because, you know, I've had so many people on this show from different backgrounds, and, you know, I always ask the question because there's always some significant points in our life that lead us to becoming what we have dreamed of becoming. And so I'd like you to just tell me a little bit about yourself growing up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so I grew up in Hartford my entire life, born and raised. Bought a home with my wife and raising my family here in Hartford as well. Yeah, growing up, you know, it was tough, like many stories. You know, I grew up in a single parent home, and the projects, poor.
Right.
And, you know, we had a very tough upbringing, but it's the kind of stuff that made us appreciate life and it made us stronger. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people have had very hard lives or a very humble beginning, or it can be so much going on, traumatic experiences, et cetera, but they propel you. Usually, if you can get on the right track, propel you into your artistic creativity. And what I mean by that, because I poured everything into singing, acting, drawing, writing since I was a little girl. I'm talking about little girl. And, you know, and so I just want to know, do you remember anything significant that happened as you were growing up that made you say, that's what I want to do?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. So at 15, I was diagnosed with cancer. And at 17, I ended up getting my leg amputated because of it. And I was 2 years struggling, you know. I went through chemotherapy and went through many surgeries and through the blessings of God. You know, I'm here today.
Yes.
But
right.
During that time, you know, I didn't go out much because my immune system was low and stuff like that. And, you know, I was having a good, around 17, I was having like a good week where my immunity was good and I was able to finally, you know, go out for a short period of time. And, you know, I had a really close friend that just took me to go watch a movie. And that movie was The Shawshank Redemption. And
okay. Yeah.
It was the first time that film was the first time I ever saw a movie that I really started like analyzing the visuals, analyzing the scenes, analyzing the story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember walking out of that movie theater saying, wow, like that was amazing. Like, I want to be able to do that someday. Like, I want to be able
right.
to create something that is beautifully shot, that evokes emotions, that inspires. And I, you know, from that moment, I just knew that I
That's
wanted to become a filmmaker.
To do.
I didn't know how I was going to do it, and I didn't know how long it was going to take me to do it. But, you know, my journey in life, you know, it was difficult. I didn't have the opportunity to go to college or anything like that, or the means
right.
to, you know, move out of Connecticut. Because, you know, at the time, you know, there was no internet, there was no YouTube, there was no,
right,
you know,
exactly.
accessibility like we have it now.
Mm.
And the only way to go to film school was to either move to New York or move to Boston or, you know, one of the biggest cities. And, you know, it was just something that was beyond my means and the means of my family. So I put that dream aside and just did what everybody did, you know, just work and,
mm-hmm.
and, started a family, and eventually, you know, technology caught up. And, you know, when people ask me,
right,
you know, where'd you get all this training from? And I said, well, I went to University of YouTube. I discovered YouTube and finding these tutorials and videos and on how to edit and how to shoot. And then before you know it, you know, just technology just got cheaper, and I was able to purchase my first camera somewhere around 2009, when it became affordable to buy a digital DSLR, and I just started experimenting. You know, I started just going around my neighborhood shooting graffiti videos and shooting artists and street artists, and that became a passion. And then from there, you know, it was just one of those things where like somebody saw my work and was like, man, you know, like, I love what you did there. You know, would you mind doing something for me? And it started as a hobby, and then eventually, as the years gone by, it became a part-time business, and I would just do it on the weekends or in the evenings whenever I had time off. And then around 5 years ago, you know, I was losing a lot of great opportunities. You know, I evolved as a filmmaker. I made a little name for myself locally as far as, you know, people recognizing my work and what I was capable of doing. And, you know, big opportunities started coming in, and because of working my full-time job, you know, I wasn't able to do it. I had to turn down a lot of great, great opportunities. And one day
yes,
I said, you know,
I understand.
Life is short. that's for sure. I'm not getting any younger. You know, I have been working already with the state of Connecticut for about 14 years and had a great paying job and great benefits, but I wasn't fulfilled. You know, I was
right.
I still had that goal, still had that dream, and I just took a leap of faith, you know, with the support of my wife and support of my children, and you know, my wife just said, you know, just do it. And
right.
I took my time, I planned it out, I saved up a little bit of money, and I put my 2 weeks in notice, and I took a leap of faith and just did it, and I went full time with it, and I've been working
right.
full time as a filmmaker for the last 4 years, and it's been a blessing.
Wow.
You know, it's not an easy decision to make when you're raising children and paying a mortgage and paying bills, but you know, sometimes you just gotta have faith and God provides, and at least for me, you
right.
know, the work comes and I've been able to sustain, you know, my family and hopefully, you know, I'm doing my best to grow the business, you know, and you know, I always consider myself a student of my craft, so I'm always learning, I'm always evolving, I'm always, you know, trying to grow as a filmmaker, as a creative.
And it's funny because when I went to go out to see the films, I really wasn't, you know, didn't know what to expect because I didn't do it for the total 3 days, only the 1 day, because I was interested in the comedy workshop. And that was good. And I said, let me go upstairs and just see some of the films that are still playing for today. And when your film came on, I mean, I really wished it was a regular 1.5 hour movie, because that short piece was so touching. And it's an experience that some of us have had, or we know someone that has gone through that or can relate to the situation of jail. Tell me how you came about with this idea, because I loved it. I loved it.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the kind words. That means a lot. You know, that to me, that's always been my goal with anything that I create, where, you know, I hope that the work that I do inspires or evoke emotion, good or bad, right? Because, you know, you're not always going to please everybody, and not everybody's going to like your work.
That's right.
But, yeah, so the concept came about, you know, from a personal aspect of my life. You know, like I said previously, you know, I grew up in a single-parent home. You know, my dad wasn't around. He was in and out of prison. And he just wasn't really a part of my life. And then I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago, we sort of reunited. And unfortunately, you know, it was under circumstances where, you know, he was battling cancer and his health was deteriorating. You know, it was a beautiful thing that we reunited, because that last year he was alive, we really connected. We really bonded. We really caught up. I really got to, for the first time in my life, you know, as an adult, got to really learn about my father, know who he was as a man, his struggles, you know, and we came together and you know, we sort of let go of the hurt, of the pain, of the anger that at least I held on for many years for
right.
him not being in my life. And,
right.
you know, when it came down to his last couple of months of life, you know, I ended up taking care of him. And we spent, you know, many, many long nights just talking, you know, and I just had so many questions, you know, like, how was it for you? You know, how was it being locked up? And, you know, and as he just spoke about real, true feelings about how he missed us, how he always wondered where we were and how we were doing. And, you know, and unfortunately, due to the circumstances, you know, from my mom's end, you know, we didn't see him in prison. We didn't visit. We didn't stay in touch. You know, just time just flew by, and before you know it, I was an adult and he was an old man. And you know, we got to catch up a lot, and it just got me thinking. You know, as a father myself now, I'm a father of a 17-year-old and of a 13-year-old, and you know, I love my children, and I'll do anything for them, and I can't even imagine not having them in my life, you know, not being able to see them, talk to them, touch them, and hug them, you know, and be there for them. So I was able to genuinely forgive my father and forgive the hurt and forgive the pain and vice versa, you know, because I held on a lot of
pain. Yes.
And part of us not being each other's life, you know, it's because of my own pain and my own anger and, you know, and he did, you know, later on in life, he did try to reach out. And unfortunately, you know, I just wasn't ready for that. But I'm glad that it did happen before he passed away and I got to know him and, you know.
Yes.
The idea came from that, you know, like I wanted to portray, you know, it's not only my father's story, but it's a story of many black men, many Latino men, you know, with families who get incarcerated, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we live in a world that, you know, the judicial system, you know, it's not fair for everybody, especially for black and brown.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I wanted to show that, you know, I wanted to show from a different experience, and mostly from the experience of the mindset, you know, psychologically, the effect that takes on a person, you know, like,
right.
I've always, you know, after I got to know my father and the stories I would hear about him growing up, you know, he was always, you know, the street guy, you know, he's always the hardcore, you know, don't show emotions. And I got to see a different side of him when I got to know him and even more so his last days, you know. And
yes.
And I saw the mental health that he went through, not only, you know, because of incarceration, but just his life in general. And people carry mental health issues, you know, and it's a real thing, you know. And
yes,
I think, you know,
absolutely.
It just seems like in the last 10 or 15 years, it's been more talked about, and it's more, you know, they have now medical terms for it. But there was a time where there was no such thing, you know, there was no talk about anxiety and panic attack disorders and you know, bipolarism and things. And, you know, so it's like I just wanted to shed some light on that, you know, the cause and effect of what this system does to our community, you know, not just only affect one person, it's a domino.
And you could tell,
you
could tell that your heart was in this because it was so well planned in such a short time. Like we were thinking one thing and then you twisted it up on us and it was something else at the end. So I love that piece of it. And, you know, I can understand, you know, as far as the dad, you know, in and out of jail, incarcerated. That's how my father was, you know, God rest his soul. But he passed away when I was 13, so I never did get to make that intimate connection with him to find out who he was. So, you know, at least that happened in your life, and you were able to make an impact in the community because of it. And since we're talking about intimacy, you know, there is an intimate connection over the summer. What do you feel about that? It doesn't even have to be over the summer. What would you say about it?
You know, one of the things that I would say, you know, especially with you know, our black community, our Latino community, you know, at least in my culture, you know, like I consider myself Afro-Latino, so, you know, my family's black and Puerto Rican. So it's like one of those things
right.
where it's just like in our culture, you know, men are, you know, they don't show their emotions, you know, they don't talk about
right.
their feelings. They don't embrace each other in a way where they feel comfortable. And at least
mm-hmm.
to me, you know, I got to experience that a lot. But particularly, you know, over the summer, you know, I took in my nephew who's 29 years old, and, you know, fortunately, he's had a very tough life in and out of jail as well, and, you know, he became homeless, and my wife and I, we just took him in and gave him a hand and gave him a bed to sleep in, and, you know, we didn't ask for anything in return. We just asked for him to just work hard and save up, and we helped him find an apartment, which he actually moved into a couple weeks ago. And
wow, that's great.
A week before he moved out, you know, I'm just in the kitchen, you know, just fixing myself something to eat. And he came in, and without even saying a word, he walked right up to me and just gave me a tight hug, and he just held on. And as he was embracing me, he was just like saying, "Unc, man, I just want to tell you I'm so happy and I thank you so much." You know, and he was getting choked up, and it just caught me off guard a little bit, right? Because I'm not used to that level of comfortability with embracing another man too, you know, because it's just my upbringing, you know, and the fact that he was able to, be in a vulnerable state, you know, to thank me and to really genuinely express his feelings and how proud he, you know, I was of him and how far he's come. And you know, it's a moment that I will cherish forever because, you know, just like my father, you know, my nephew has that street hardcore street mindset. He's not one to show his feelings. He's not one to do something like that. And it came from a genuine place. And, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, my wife and I, we truly happy we were able to lend him a hand. And I'm happy to say that, you know, he has a good paying job. He has his first apartment living by himself. And, you know, he's on the right path. But, again, you know, it just goes back to, you know, our culture, you know, like us men, we don't show our feelings, you know, and I think there's nothing wrong with it, you know. I think we need more of that in our community. We need more of that in our family.
Absolutely.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to hug another man. It's okay to express your feelings. You know, it's okay to seek help. And vice versa, you know, give it as well, you know.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I would like for you to give your information out. I did put your website up on the show page for people to go to. But if there's anything else or any showings that are in this in Connecticut that you have coming up, please quickly tell us about it. We are run out of time. I want to make sure I'm prepared for the next caller. So can you do that for us, Enrique? Okay.
Yeah, no problem. So my website is retrospectivefilms.com. Again, retrospectivefilms.com. My Instagram is retrospective_films. And as far as my film that was shown at the Bridgeport Film Festival, it also got selected and will be shown at this year's Mystic Film Festival. It's happening. The Mystic Film Festival happening October 19th through the 22nd, and the film will be shown there. And you know, I'm hoping for another nomination and a win. And if not, it's okay. I just feel like the more eyes watch it, you know, and
I hope you win.
No, I appreciate it.
I hope you win.
I'm hoping for more people to see the film and, you know, and hopefully in the future there's more stories I want to tell. So
yes,
I'll be posting out more of my work on my Instagram. Again, retrospective_films and retrospectivefilms.com for my website.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking out the time to call in. I know you was a little bit under the weather, so am I. And you just have a blessed night. Keep me posted if you could just, you know, shoot me a text or email or even on Facebook, you know, to let me know what's coming up in Connecticut. That would be great because I'm next. And, you know, one thing have asked the Lord is to please allow me to do my life story on the big screen, you know, before I pass away. That's one thing I would love to do, and you're an inspiration for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for bringing me on your show, and thank you for your time and your kind words. And I look forward to linking up with you and maybe bringing some of these ideas to fruition.
Yes, amen to that.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, take care, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it. That was Enrique LeBron. So please support him with the nominations that he has coming up for the film Jail, because it is really, really good, this short film. If you like movies and things of that nature, I am going to go to Can We Talk by Wendell B., who was a previous guest on the show twice. And I love his love song. So I'm going to play a little bit of that.
You know, sometimes I think to myself and I say, with all this shit we're going through, see if we could just sit down and talk about it. Just maybe everything will be alright. See, we've been together too long. See, communication is what we need. Let's talk about it.
Sometimes you get on my nerves. Got too many demands.
Don't do this. Do
yeah.
It.
Running a mouth with a mama and a girlfriend.
Always tell
yeah.
Me.
I don't wanna walk away from a good thing. I don't wanna do it. My baby been with me all through the storm and through the rain.
Storm and
yeah. See if I walk away now, I lose everything.
Everything.
Oh, there go my house, my car, the wedding ring. So baby, can we just talk? Talk about all the things I've been doing behind you. Yeah, when you pulled up in the rain, girl, I saw tell me who was that?
Tell me this song.
We causing each other pain, playing too many games. Why we gotta do it
like that?
We steady pushing it back,
leave us straight up
ahead. Baby, can we talk about it?
It's like we're running a race with the habit
have
not. I'm doing the best I can.
Ooh, baby. Steady watching the freeze, watching what they got.
Hey, don't worry about that.
Now God knows I ain't perfect, yet I get up every morning, hit that clock and try to work it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the week, pick up my check, I swear it ain't worth it. Lord, she steady riding my back, why she do me like that? I'm a simple man.
Simple man.
Yeah, somebody tell my baby
that I'm pushing.
Giving her the best
I can.
But if the loving is strong, are we both in the wrong? Then baby, maybe we can make it bounce back.
Well,
baby, your place of mine. You just name the time.
Maybe we can talk about.
Can we sit down and talk about all the things I've been doing?
Baby,
tell me
though.
Oh, yeah. When he pulled up in the rain.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
Tell me who was that?
Can we just
causing each other pain,
playing too many games,
way too much.
Why we gotta do it like that?
So tell me what's on your mind.
No more creeping in line.
Baby, can we talk about all the things I've been doing
behind
you? Tell me, can we talk again? When he pulled up in the rain,
y'all it hurt me to my heart.
Tell me who was that?
Can we do so?
We causing each other pain,
playing too many games.
Tell me what we gotta do it.
When we're both in the
steady pushing it back.
Oh, we gotta see
the beat.
We gotta talk about it.
That was Can We Talk by Wendell B. My God, such a sexy gentleman and so just respectful. Let me get off of that subject. Anyway, I have my caller waiting very patiently, but I do need to get to some announcements. Birthday shout-outs to my niece, Ajanae Young, Shelly Williams, Terrell Spite, Willie Bam Bam Parker, Renee Glover, Pastor Lenore Jordan, Pastor LaVon Gay, Honey Trice, Janice Murray, Mary Alston Miller, Denzel Williams, Aunt Deborah Whitaker, Joshika Coleman, CD, Nick Kelly, Natasha Bryant, Cheryl Butler Chapman, Jason V. Watts, Donna Smith, Kenneth Humphrey, Garrett Chaz Oliver, Keisha Humphrey, Tanisha Owens, and Jocelyn JBB. And so we have that. And then our donations. If you'd like to donate to this show, you can give to myself or Diamonds in the Rough, or by ordering my art or my books or both. You can go to my website, which is up on the show page, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. You can choose from any of those different things, and you can contact me, inbox, DM, email, text, your choices, and then I'll let you know how much everything is going to be. You can pay by Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Square, POS, in person, or cash. Contact me at 203-952-9807. If you'd like to me to be an MC at your event, to teach on a particular subject, preach, run a class, or a forum, oh my God, what is going on? To run a forum on sexual assault or domestic violence, which I am certified in, you can contact me. If you'd like me to be a spoken word artist, I'm an award-winning spoken word artist, seen on BET, Apollo, etc., Foxwoods, and more. If you want me to be a comedian, actress, or help with direction, or as a business consultant, reach out to me. Fees and honorariums are mandatory. Payment plans for your art is totally accepted. I want to send my condolences to anyone who has lost a loved one in the time that I didn't have my show. Since the last show, my heart goes out to you. And God bless you and your family. And I am going to go to my guest, Uncut. I'm going to play his music right now, which is, let me find it, I'll Be Around by Uncut.
I'll be around.
Whenever you need me, you know where I'm at, come through and see. It's all for you, believe me. We should go somewhere far like Tahiti. Next time you're free, you gon' be on TV. We out on the road pushing the CD. If life were movie, mine's a freebie, and you gon' need to put on some shades you're trying to see. When other people act funny, even when you ain't got no money. Whether you fly or looking rummy, I'll be right by your side whenever you're looking for me. My job to be right here and hold it down. Ain't no need in acting me where I'm at, cause
I'll be
remember when we ain't had. Don't ever look down on each other. You might end up where he at. Start helping out one another. Stop stressing your baby mother, cause if you was doing right, then she wouldn't need another. Brother, whenever y'all flipping, I'm the one you call whenever you start flipping. We enjoying life while y'all tripping over the fact that you wanna back your heart missing. Listen, a feel good vibe. Working hard, grinding, just happy to be alive. Just ups and downs, just smiles and frowns. My haters and clowns from all over the town.
Oh,
There you have it. That was I'll Be Around by Uncut. He has been waiting very patiently, and I am going to plug him in.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? How you doing?
I'm all right, yourself? I'm good.
Yes, I'm trying to, you know, get through this, you know, show without coughing too much, but did
yeah,
a little bit too much
thing.
On Saturday.
I'm fighting a cold
yeah,
too.
For real? Oh, my goodness, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to make it happen. You know what? I got to say one thing. I love this song. I was over here jamming. Everybody, this is Uncut. I met him at the 50th Hip Hop Anniversary here in Bridgeport on the Green. And your song that you sang that caught my attention, I don't know about nobody else. It was, I think it was the most thuggish song that you did up there. And you brought the thug from, like, back in, you know, when I was in my early 30s, you pulled the educated thug out at me. I didn't even know she was still there. I jumped up, man, and almost hurt myself because I just was like, oh, my goodness. It was just dope. But let me tell you something before we get into the interview. I just happened to go to my sister's house, and my niece, who is about 21, I think, she was like, Auntie, you know, we was talking, having a conversation of what they should do, whether they should come to Bridgeport or not, and her friends are terrified of Bridgeport. So she said, you know, she said, this is the song that, you know, they telling us what's happening in Bridgeport, and why she pulled up the song that you said.
I don't even mean to scare people with this.
You got these little kids out here, some of them, you got them shook because they don't want to come to Bridgeport. I said, no, I said, I met this man. He's a very nice man. I said, you know, sometimes we have to do what we got to do when we're, you know, we fit the image of certain things. You know, but that not may not be the total of who we are. So tell us
exactly.
Who you are.
Well, I've been doing music for 35 years since I was 12.
Right.
So I like kind of dabble in a whole lot of different genres, but I try to stay true to myself and what I believe.
Right.
In. Like I got a song called what is the song? I'm just lost. I drew a blank. Still standing. And
okay.
Like you said, I did that song at the Hip Hop Anniversary, and it was like a thuggish song. But then if you listen to Still Standing is talking about mental illness and things that I deal with myself.
Talk about it.
Then you heard like I'll Be Around. That's like just a feel good song for families.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about different aspects of my life because I'm not just that thuggish person. You know what I mean? I'm not scared to put it on page and put it out there for the world to hear it.
Right. And you know what? I need to hear that song again. So I'm gonna play it. I think was that one of the songs you sent me?
No, I didn't say that one.
Oh, you
did? I did.
Okay.
No, I did that song from years ago, but I'll send it to you, though.
Okay. Yes, because I really liked it. My friends were looking at me like I was crazy. when you was doing the song, they're like, okay, Sheree. I'm about to hurt my back, came falling down. I'm like, yes, but you know, and that's the thing, you know, tell us a little bit about how you got into this. What made you want to do hip hop?
I just loved it from the beginning, from first listening to it, and boy, I was always good with making words rhyme. Like, because, you know, they teach that in school. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Yeah.
And I used to write my own words to songs like that. And then songs on the radio, too. I would write my own words to it. because I always think, well, they should have said this or they should have said that. And this was at a hearing aid. It just grew on me. And I'm like, instead of just, let me just take it serious.
And I
started taking it serious and putting my life into the words instead of just mimicking stuff that other people were talking about.
Exactly, exactly. And so do you have time where you sit down and you just write, and, you know, how do you choose which ones is the best one to do?
Well, sometimes I'll write a song without even listening to a beat, without even having a beat. It'll just be something that I need to get out. But then other times I'll just sit. Other times I'll just sit and play the beat and keep playing it and keep playing it and let the words come to me.
Okay. Got it. And so, you know, because I'm a writer too, and you're talking about poetry, really. You know, I believe that's all songs are, even hip-hop, you know, rhyming.
Yep.
You know, you got to be really, really quick on your feet. You got to be good with words. And, and that's what you're talking about, you know. And what age were you, you know, when you started doing all of this?
12
years old. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so, you know, what do you see yourself as more? Because I believe that there is a difference between hip-hop and rap. Where do you see yourself? Do you fit in both or do you fit in one?
I'm a part of the hip-hop culture all day. Rap, like you said, they're two different things. I'm not really into commercial rap. That's not for me. Not for me. I'm knocking on, but that's not for me. I like to, I like to put my life on display. You know what I mean? Stuff that me and my friends and family went through, I like to paint a picture of that and put it in audio form and let people hear it like that.
Okay.
And like you said,
that sounds
really
good.
About, you was talking about songs really being poems. I wrote a poem back in, 92, I want to say, maybe 93. And I turned it into a song called The Struggle. I don't know if you ever heard The Struggle, but I'm trying to get that to you.
If I might have, I might have.
First verse was talking about growing up having a kid at an early age. Then the second verse was talking about my father and the relationship me and him didn't have. And then the third verse brought it all together and talking about what type of father I want to be when I
Right.
Came. And that was years ago. Yeah. And matter of fact, I did one verse of that. That was the first verse I did at the 50th anniversary of hip hop.
Okay.
First verse I did. That was still one of them songs.
Okay.
Trying to do different stuff. You know what I mean? But being versatile at the same time.
Absolutely. And keeping in mind that, you know, the bigger you get, and the more people start to listen to you, you got to take an account of the children what messages that, you know, are coming to them, because they're going to like it just because of the beat. Most of the time with what's on the radio, you know, I used to teach in the public school systems, and I used to say, okay, you know, what would this song be without the words?
Yeah.
And with the words, what are you hearing if you didn't have a beat? And, you know, and have them kind of explain that and you know, and let them know, you know, there's reasons why certain things can't be played on the radio all the time, or because, you know, kids don't know how to, you know, they think it's real. You know, everything they see on the videos is real. Half the stuff is borrowed, you know, from the company. They have to give it back. They don't even own it. So, you know what I mean? And I really see. Go ahead.
I say, and they're glorifying a life that they're not really living.
Exactly.
They give kids false hope.
Right, right, absolutely. And I don't know why, when you were talking, I just was seeing like a fun, you know, teenage song or you know, something that the little kids can, you know, get down to, you know, whatever word y'all use nowadays, you know, and really just hone in on at least one song. That's what I just been seeing, you know, while you were talking, because you have such a fun beat and a word message with this song, I'll Be Around. And I just was thinking about it. I don't know if that's something you have on in your plans, but it would be very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the topic tonight is an intimate connection over the summer. What is that saying to you?
When I saw the topic, I was wondering, I'm like, what? I can see how you mean an intimate connection over someone. Are you talking about relationships or just intimate with other people in general?
Well, I'm going to read this again. I read this at the beginning of the show. And intimacy, everybody likes to equate intimacy with sex, and that's wrong. It's false. Mm-hmm. It's not the right or correct thing. It can be, you know what I'm saying? But intimacy... Let me put my glasses on because these words are too small. Is close familiarity or friendship, closeness. And it can be between a husband and a wife. But you can also be intimate in any friendship or relationship that you have. Spiritual intimacy, I was reading, is revealing your spirituality to your partner or in your relationship, and listening to your partner's disclosures, like things that they don't share with everybody, and being supportive in non-judgmental fashion, spiritual support. So, you know, it's friendship, it's closeness, familiarity. What if you had an intimate connection over the summer? I was telling people I had one when I was in Israel this summer. I had an intimate connection with the Lord while I was over there, seeing so many things that, you know, connected to the Lord, you know, where he walked, the things that happened, and the Bible coming, you know, to life, actually, you know. So for you, Uncut, What intimate connection have you had? If it's not over the summer, it could have been this year.
Well, it was about, I would think, if I'm thinking right, 2 weeks ago, I just had a grandson.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And when we had her, his mother, I thought that changed my life. I thought I never felt loved like that before, but now
right.
When I hold him, it's kind of totally different. You know what I mean? That's
wow.
I don't know.
What
I don't
was
know
it like? I mean, what was it like? Because I've
like
never given birth. I don't know.
Oh, okay. It was like holding his mother all over again.
Wow, isn't that something?
I'm blessed because she just got her master's. Then she had the baby. She got a good job. She's still in school going for a doctorate. So things are looking up for me right now. God is blessed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, he is.
And
that's
and
what I mean. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I mean. That is definitely intimate and very personal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good. So what is coming up? First of all, before what is coming up, what are some of the places you have performed that stand out to you?
The places, they're probably not even around anymore because, like I said, I've been doing this for 35 years. But I can say, like, the people that I opened up for Bad Boy Family. I opened up for Fat Joe. I opened up for Little Mo. We opened up for Raekwon. Who else? Papoose, Remy Ma.
Okay. I love Remy Ma.
A lot of I've been doing it for a while, so we took a hiatus after a while, but through, I would say, 2003 and 2013,
yeah.
We had a long run of doing shows, and they seem to like our music. They support our music. I got Ivor Around is not on there, but I do have some music on all major sites like Apple Music, Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah, Tidal, all of them.
Okay, yeah, so all the social media platforms.
Yeah, I got an album called Breath of Fresh Air that I put out about 5 years ago. That's up there. And I'm working on an album now. I'm just about finished with another album that I'll be putting out pretty soon.
Right. And you know, what do you think is the main ingredient of becoming a great hip-hop artist? Because, see, I know I've been doing this so long, you know, with seeking talent, you know, finding people, not just to be on the radio, but when I was doing a lot of shows, you know, for a period of 10 years. And I know when I see somebody that is a star, I can point that out really easily. And what do you think is the main ingredients that you need to be a great hip-hop artist?
I would think to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
Don't try to be nobody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
Find your lane and ride that lane. Let people get to know you through your music. Not just putting out something that, you know what I mean, putting out anything because that's the fad.
Absolutely. Because when that fad dies, your stuff will die too. Okay. You know, that is so true. I remember when Luke was just came on the scene, and what's that guy started out with him? He had the big nose. He just recently passed away, like 2 years ago.
Oh,
he
wore
a fake
Humpty.
Big
that was
nose.
Humpty. I forgot his real name.
Humpty, yeah, that's right.
Humpty.
And around that, this is so stupid. Around the time I was like, I would say like 26.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with, I had a little studio in my room back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to be just experimenting, but I came with a song called Big Booty Draws. It was the stupidest thing, but you know me and a couple of my friends, you know, they used to come over to the house, you know, they liked it, and we tore one room up at the Marriott, just fooling around, singing.
And y'all was having fun, right?
Yes,
that's what
we was having
fun. Having fun with it, yeah.
I said, if they can talk about booties, I can talk about big booty draws. But see, what I didn't do was actually put it into creation. Because you have some people out here, they're very good writers, very good poets, rhyming, et cetera, et cetera. And how do they get their stuff to be actually, you know, become a song that is professional, to tell, you know, let the people know in case they want to be a hip-hop artist?
Okay, well, nowadays, first of all, make sure to sound like.
Right.
Nobody want to hear something that just sound crazy, a bunch of trash. They should sound good. Even if you got to keep going in the studio or you got to buy equipment, like back before, we would buy equipment instead of going to the studio and learn that equipment so we always got it. So we don't got to keep paying for the studio. You know what I mean? And if they can do that, and then once you get it sounding as good as you need it to, go to TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, and that'll distribute your music around the world. And
wow,
you keep a bigger portion than if you're just trying to get signed to a record label or something.
Okay. Okay.
They who helped me get my music on Pandora, Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music. I paid them a fee and they put the music out there, and now I get reviews from all over the world, different parts of the country, different cities, just showing me love.
Isn't that something? That's great. That is wonderful. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so is there anything that you, last minute that you want to tell us before we end, that you want to say as encouragement or inspiration?
Yeah. If y'all not busy October 5th, please come out to, I believe it's Sherwood Island or anywhere where in your city or town that they're doing a cancer walk. Please come out and support the people for the cancer walk. Yeah, too many people passing from that, and we need the support.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I know. I used to do the cancer walk when I was able to walk good back in Stanford years ago, because I had several people, a few people in my family that passed away from cancer, like my aunt and my grandmother. I believe my grandfather, I don't know. It's just,
numbers, right?
You know.
Just like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Yep.
You need support for that.
You know, and so, yes, that's true. Give the date again.
October 15th. I believe
okay.
It's Sherwood Island. I might be
okay.
Wrong if it's not Sherwood Island, it's Seaside Park.
Okay. Got you. All right. All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate, you taking out your time to be a part of Talk to Me Radio. And if
no
you
problem.
Want to share
Thanks
it, yes, if you want to share it with anyone, just send the link around. You know, that's how you can, yes. And you have a blessed night. Stay in touch.
You too. I will.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it. On the show was Enrique LeBron, filmmaker. His information is up. You have Uncut. He is on most social media platforms and outlets for music. So check him out. Check out his music. I'm sure he has stuff up on YouTube as well. And so I'm going to take a very short music break, and I'm going to play a little bit of What Can I Give by Fred Hammond, and then we're going to go into the salvation prayer and the past guests, etc.
Hey, what's up? I see you called early. I'm just hitting you back. Yeah, no, I got a minute. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
But I still don't know the reason why. When trouble shook my ground, you stayed around. So faithful, your love has been to me. And Lord, I'll always love you for the rest of my days.
What can I give in exchange?
Available. It hears me when I call, and hand, it lifts me when I'm alone. Lord, no other love is worthy to receive such praise. So I give you all.
That was What Can I Give by Fred Hammond. His music is just so beautiful. I love the jazz sound, but what can you give? What can we give? You know, we can give a heart. We can give our heart to not just what we want to accomplish, but we can give our heart to the Lord. And if you're ready to do that, you could just speak out loud, Romans 10 and 9, you know, talk to Jesus, you know, in the privacy of your own space, you know, wherever you may be. It don't matter where I'm at. If I feel the urge to start praying, whether that's within myself or out loud, I could be anywhere, anywhere. So it is something that you have to, you know, Kate, if you stop communicating in your relationship is going to die. You know, you're not going, it's going to fall apart. And it's the same with the Lord, you know, just send a shout out. Hey, what's up, Jesus? Talk to him how you would talk to him. You know, Lord, I need you right now. You can just simply just say out loud, you know, from this particular verse in New Living Translation, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so there's a whole lot that you have to learn once you have said that prayer out loud. And my advice is not to get with your homeboys and you know, your girls. And, you know, unless they are Christian and they've been seasoned, you know, had some time in the game, you know, to explain what is going on and what's about to happen, you know. And it's not going to be, you know, all plums and trees and gumdrops and like from the Candyland, but, you know, it's life still. The difference is that you can call on him and he might not answer exactly when you want him. But believe me, he is definitely on time and he will surprise you, you know. And so I'm saying that because I thought it was going to be peaches and cream, you know, by rededicating myself when I was like 30-something. I didn't understand, you know, because even though I knew the Lord, I didn't know him like that. You know what I'm saying? How you know somebody, you be like, hey, what up? You know, you go see them every now and then. What up? Hey, how y'all doing? You know, no, I had to get closer. You know what I'm saying? When to me, my friends, they will know who I am behind closed doors. not just seeing me on Facebook, because I don't consider that a friend. But my friends know. They've been to my house. They know what it looked like. Normally, I have been to their house. I know what it looked like. I know their mannerisms. They know mine. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know my favorite color and you don't know some of the things that I like to do, then you are not really close to me, you know? And so that's all it is telling Jesus what's going on, you know, in your mind and heart. He already know anyway. He just wants you to talk to him. So in any case, I hope that has blessed you, and we are going to move on from that, and I'm going to play my play. I'm going to play a little music and come back with the past guests. So let me put on a little bit more of Wendell B. Still Learning About Love, one of my favorite that he sings. Oh, and The Magic One, Jason and CJ, different compilation of different guys that are on this particular song.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey. Hey. Hey, what up, Jay? Man, one of y'all got a roll with me. What it do, Wiz? Man. Hey, y'all grab one and meet me at the spot. She be tripping about the late hours I be coming in. Yeah. I got a habit of running around there too late with my friends.
What?
I said. Now ain't nobody gonna tell me, June, what the hell I'm supposed to do. Supposed to do, hell no. She said we gave up that life when we took the vows, and we said I do. Damn, girl, I guess I'm still learning about love. I gotta learn how to set the fire for love. But now I'm learning about love. See, I've been known to stay out on the road. Yes, I have. I'm
learning about love.
Hey, yo, Jay. Step up.
Take your time, Jay.
Now when the fellas be calling, I can't find the keys to my car.
Babe, you seen my keys?
Tell me how you seen them.
She tell me take a look around, baby, they can't be too far.
But all the while she got screaming, why you won't stay home? You keep leaving me all alone. You need to lay your ass down next to me and love me all night long. Can you hear the kids screaming for daddy? But daddy's stroking the street. Need to try and come maintain what's underneath these sheets. Damn girl, forgive me, baby.
And ask the Lord to forgive me, y'all, for being a jerk. Didn't mean to cause her no pain, no stress or no strain. Baby, please forgive me, girl, for playing these games. Cause we done took a vow to rock forever, and baby, I'm rocking with you. But first I gotta apologize
for the things I put you through.
I'm sorry, baby.
Word up.
Oh, I've changed.
I've changed.
But now I need to learn the rules.
Learning about love.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I was doing too
much.
while my baby's in that way for me. And y'all, I know that that's wrong. I'm still learning how to love.
That was Wendell B. Still Learning About Love. Ah, oh, it's just so beautiful. Anyway, you are listening to Sheree Humphrey of Talk to Me Radio, and I am going to read some of the past guests, and hopefully I will be able to get through this. The original Spinderella, Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, DJ Wong Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Bonita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Caldwell, Al Thomas, Yo-Yo, the legendary Yo-Yo, the legendary Donnell Jones, and the legendary Special Ed, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Joe Show, Nick Kelly, Nick Agneto, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., who I was just playing, J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael, the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tappan, Chris Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, Spencer Camp, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King Mafioso slash King the Barber, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, Andrea Daniels, Charles Fulton, Sebastian Trivi, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judith Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, Jay Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Marcia Sapp of New York, Carissa Dow, violinist from New York, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, Pastor Arlene Henry, Maris Goldstone, Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Kia Swintz, Satanya Ford, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recording, my cousin, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheem Dixon of WYBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Songbird, Dave Farrell of California, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candice Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, my cousin Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith,
Kayla, Mr. Council, Nene Ali, Frankie Brady, Elder Savon Degaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazz E. Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zacks, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown, Ernell Grant, Brian DeCauzy, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, Marlon Randolph, Lachey Nicole, Asante M. Robinson, Johnny Lemon, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Steve Wallace, Ebony with an X, CC Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, I think I said that already, Monique Smith, others that I have interviewed, some through reporting, some with Talk to Me Media, and some that I've interviewed with my cousin when I first got started, Chocolate City News, and just with the Bridgeport Christianity Examiner. So done a lot of interviews. So Vicki Wynans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Janet Dawson, Denzel Williams, Velasquez Singers, Walter Armistead, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, Tony Doc Hardy, Anthony Delavan, Derek O.C. Reed, Marlon Baker, Pookie Williams, Kareem Blue, Katrina Atkinson, my cousin, Black Fab, Lakeisha Henderson, Jonathan Edwards, Angelique Jones, Priscilla Princess Jones, J.N. Marie, Miss Jones, Steph Jones, and Key Dollar. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. I'm going to take us out with Closer by Atlantic Star. Yeah.
Yeah.